This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is a message that was recorded in the month of April of the year 2020. This date that I'm recording the message, putting it on audio, is in the month of April of the year 2024. So this is about a 4-year difference. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because since I'm recording a lot of these messages, going back, putting them on audio from something that had been published years earlier, is because there may be certain people, places, things, or incidents or something that were relevant at the time when I recorded or when I published a message that may or may not be relevant today. And if I come across anything like that in this session, I will try to let you know or fill you in on it. However, let me say this: when it comes down to the Word of God, it is always relevant. Yesterday, today, and forever. It never changes. And those of you that are exposed to it, to this or any other message that I'm ministering on, you would do well to take heed to it, and if necessarily, adjust your lives accordingly to it. Now, our subject passage of Scripture is taken from the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter number 8, verses number 22 and 23. And as I said, this is for the month of April of the year 2020. If you have your passage of Scripture ready, if you have your Bibles, if not, don't worry about it. But I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. And this is God speaking. And God says, "And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." The title of this message: The Sovereignty of God. In the classic Bible story of God sending plagues on Egypt to punish them for the actions of not the people, but Pharaoh, for not taking heed to his commands to let my people go so that they can worship me, there is a little known aspect that says a whole lot about him. Most of us are aware of the fact that during the part of the plagues when he sent the death angel through the land, he isolated those that followed his directive, that they put blood over the doorposts of their houses so that death would pass over them. This is the reason the Jewish people celebrate Passover. What isn't talked about that much is the fact that before that, God isolated his people from the majority of the plagues that he sent on Egypt simply because they were his people. As the subject verses reveal, he told Pharaoh that he told Pharaoh what he was going to do for one reason, and that was to show him there was no other God that could duplicate what he was able to do, because he is God over all others. The significance of this scenario is not immediately recognized, but I would say it carries with it a lot of promise that can be passed down from generation to generation through to us today. The significance is the foundation of our faith in him and his word. And that is, when those that put their faith in him are in a land that is cursed by him, when the devil is running wild, God has put a barrier of protection around his people that the enemy can't get around. Now, what is the difference between this and the final plague that required them to put blood over their doors? It all had to do with the severity of what was going to happen, talking about a matter of life and death. During what could be called an inconvenience, all of the people, regardless of whether they were fully committed to the Lord or not, were essentially protected because they were his people. Today, the same thing is true in that when it comes to minor things and inconveniences that take place in the land, we Christians might feel a little of the effects of these things while the rest of the population is being adversely affected. Now, how much we get affected by them depends on several factors. The first one would be, how close are we to him? By that I mean, when it comes to our walk with him, how close do we remain to him by adhering to his purpose and direction for our lives? The closer we remain to him, the harder it is for the enemy to get a hold of us and do us harm. Most of us can remember as children how that when we went out to play, a lot of times our parents told us to stay close to home. They did this for several reasons. The main one being that they could keep their eyes on us and protect us from danger. That also meant we can have peace of mind in knowing that if and when trouble comes, we can run in the house and be safe. Quite obviously, the further we went from the house, the more distance we had to go to reach safety, and as such, the greater the danger to us if someone or something wanted to do us harm. Now, while I am using a physical example, There are spiritual ramifications that I want you to see. There are many Christians today that even though they claim to be saved, they are not totally committed to completely abandoning their carnal way of thinking. There are certain things that Christ asks or commands us to do that to them is a little too extreme, so they pass on that. Now, if Jesus Christ is supposed to be the Lord over your life, that means He is your master or boss, and as such, what He tells you to do, you are supposed to do. It is not up for debate. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse number 46, we find these words recorded. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Can you imagine a servant ignoring what their master tells them to do? Or what about an employee telling the employer what they are not going to do? What do you think the end result would be for them? One could be punished and the other fired. Now, depending on the master or boss and the relationship with the employee or servant, there is always the possibility of reconciliation and forgiveness. However, as time goes on and this becomes a pattern, then the consequences will be more harsh. Going back to our story, there were many of God's people who were not totally committed to all that He wanted them to do. Yet, because they were His people, He protected them anyway. Now, we know that God knows all things, and as such, He knew that many of the same people would be a major thorn in the side of Moses once the people were free and in the wilderness. Yet He protected them as part of the group. You have no doubt heard the saying that there is protection in numbers, and that is true. The greater the number of people in a group, the more protection there is for the individual. However, that only goes so far. For some people, the idea that they are His people and that He has extended His protection to them, even in their wrongdoing, gave them a sense of, I can continue doing what I'm doing because it doesn't matter to God, because I am His servant or child, or in other words, saved. That word saved is not put in the message, the original message. I just added that in there. But you get the point. It is this type of thinking that is at the root of most of our problems in society today. In this time of grace, many of us that are Christians tend to believe that because we are Christians, that we can pick and choose what we want to do when it comes to what God says, and there will be little or no consequence for our actions. Today, as back then, As this type of thinking began to spread, seeing that those that were being obedient to God were seeing the disobedient apparently not suffering for their actions, started losing the will to obey God themselves. However, we must remember, God knows who is doing what, and He will deal with them when and how He pleases. God does these things to show all the ungodly that He is God and God alone. He also does it to show His people that He is righteous and just and will, when the time comes, allow those of His people to suffer for their disobedience. This is the sovereignty of God. It doesn't matter how large the group is that you are hiding in, you can't hide from God. He knows where you are. He knows what you're thinking. He sees what you're doing. He knows if it is out of ignorance or deliberate, because He knows your heart. Deliberate, He knows your heart. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, talking about God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. This means, as a servant or employee, it behooves us to make our master or boss happy. As such, when they are happy, things will go well for us. The more we please them, the more they will do things to show their appreciation for what we are doing. This scripture tells us that the only way to please God is by faith in Him and His Word. Now, why is this so important? Because if we know God, then we know that anything He tells us is for our own good. He would not tell us to do anything that would put us in danger. Therefore, when people reject what He says, that is telling Him that they have no faith in what He is saying. People that take a position like this are essentially telling God that they know what is better for them than He does. And you ought to know, God is not going to let that stand. He will make an example out of you to the whole world to let them know that He doesn't condemn what they are doing, while at the same time excusing you, His own people. In other words, if you are, I'm inserting something in here, just a comment. In other words, if you're doing the same thing that the ungodly is doing, and God is punishing the ungodly, these people are going to be looking at you and saying, well, His people are doing the same thing we're doing, and He's not punishing them. And you see, that would make God look like a hypocrite or something like that. But he's letting the world know that when it comes down to his own people, he deals with them the exact same way. Now back to the message. In fact, we are told in 1 Peter chapter number 4, starting at verse number 17, it says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Verse number 18. "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" What we are told in these two verses should be a warning to everyone that names the name of Christ. When the time comes, God is going to deal harshly with his people first, before he turns his wrath on the world. Also, notice the term in verse number 18 where it says, "The righteous are scarcely saved." This is telling me that none of us are in a position to be boasting about how good we are. We are, as the saying goes, hanging on by the skin of our teeth. It is when the ungodly see what he does to his own people for their disobedience that they will have no complaint about him not being justified in what he does to them. At the same time, we understand that the only way to go through the times in which we find ourselves is to put our faith and trust into someone that holds the key to our future, and that is Jesus Christ. Only he knows what is coming tomorrow, and only he can put us in a place of protection and solitude. But if we choose not to follow his direction, then we will lose out on that protection and peace of mind. As I see all the turmoil going on around today, well, back then, you know, I was talking about what was going on in 2020. It's gotten a whole lot worse, because when I first wrote this message, I don't think COVID had actually started going through the nation, but you know what happened shortly later on in 2020 when the COVID epidemic exploded around, and you know all of the ramifications of what happened, how many people died and all this, that, and other. All of this stuff just reminds me of one thing. God is still in control. And while people were running around, staying home from church, and scared to go out of their houses and staying 6 feet from everybody, running to get their vaccines and shots and things, those of us that put our faith, total faith in God and trust in God, we went out and followed some of the rules, like wearing masks and stuff. But as far as running and getting shot up with some chemicals being put in my body that nobody really had tested to find out what the long-term ramifications of it were, and this, that, and other, words being directed by fear, people running, getting in line, getting their shots and things, and carrying on, wearing signs. I got my shot, I'm protected, and this, that, and other. And then now what do we have today, 4 years later? Every year, you got to go get another shot because another variation of the COVID-19 virus is striking. See, I ain't had time for all that. I put my faith in God. I haven't had to go to get, I haven't gotten a shot at all. Neither that or flu shots, really. I haven't even gotten any flu shots. And you know how many years those have been. And I haven't been affected by anything worse than maybe a bad cold or something like that. But it, to each his own. I'm not condemning people for going to get their shots, you know, because they were worried about, they didn't want to bring the virus home and give it to their children or their elderly parents and stuff like that. I can understand that. But, you know, it all still, basically, God is able to protect you even in situations like that, which is one of the reasons I think, like I say, the timeline from when this all started, maybe this was a, I don't know whether the virus started in 2019 or 2020, but I do know this. In the midst of all of that, God protected me and my family where we didn't go out and have to get all these shots and things, and we're still doing well. So God is able to protect even in the midst of it, that area, but only in other areas also, not only, but you know, like in crime, economic situations and things like that. God's been Johnny on the spot protecting us and keeping us from what the devil is doing, which is what I considered all this nonsense that's going on around concerning this virus and so forth. Anyway, let me get back to it. Now, as I was saying, as I see all the turmoil going on around today with the panic over the spreading of this coronavirus, and the medical experts are telling people to stay home, don't get within 6 feet of each other, be careful in how you do things, all for the sake of defeating this virus. Very few of them are mentioning that we need to turn to God. Oh, sure, many are doing that, but they are doing it because of fear. As soon as the threat abates, they will be right back doing their usual things until the next crisis comes along. I hope that you are not one of those. If you are, you best take heed, because your future depends on it. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing this message out, and I hope you, like I said, have taken heed to it, and that you will adjust your lives and your way of thinking according to it, because of the times in which we are living. Things are consistently getting worse, and we don't know when or what's going to be happening tomorrow, next week, next month, or whatever, or even the next minute for that matter. Forget about tomorrow. Worry about getting through the rest of today. There's a lot in this for you. Like I say, when you live in a neighborhood and you're surrounded by drug dealers, crime, and all that other stuff, and it's affecting everybody in the neighborhood, and they locking themselves in the houses behind steel bars and things like that, and they're doing it out of fear and thinking the bars and things are going to protect them, when in fact, in some instances, those bars and the steel doors and things can be a death trap. Going back, I don't know, about 20 or 30 some odd years ago, back in the 1980s, I believe it was, there was a situation where a mother and a father left their 8 children in their house while they went to the market. Now, one of the kids was about 13, 14 years old or something like that. Anyway, it was during the winter time, and the pipes in the house had frozen and they couldn't get the water running. So the father did what he usually does, he went down into the basement, because the basement was an open basement, you know, they didn't have it enclosed or heated or nothing like that, because they were using space heaters in the house at 5 watt, I think. Anyway, he went down in the basement and used his propane torch to try to heat up the water pipe, to thaw the water pipe out enough so that the water would start running. And he managed to get it running, and then he turned around and went back upstairs, you know, to check. As soon as he saw it running, he went on and with his wife, and they went to the market or so, which was about a block or two away. I don't know whether they walked or drove. Anyway, the house had bars and stuff on the windows, and you know, they had the steel security doors and things like that. The house caught on fire because, unbeknownst to the father, when he was down there thawing the pipes out, he accidentally set fire to some of the insulation that was up in between the walls that he didn't know had actually wound up catching on fire. And he went back upstairs, and him and his wife left, and the house wound up catching on fire, and the kids were in the house and could not get out of the house because of these steel doors and these steel bars. People ran up there trying to break in the house and things, but they couldn't get through those steel bars and windows. Long story short, 8 children died, from the 13 or 14 year old girl down to a baby that was about couldn't even been I don't think, not even a year old. All of them were dead because of the steel bars and steel windows and things like that. And you know, over time, you've heard instances time and again about people trying to save people and can't get in the house because of these steel bars and windows. So those bars and things, they can be a good safety feature for you, but they could also be a death trap. That's all I'm saying. Putting your faith in God and being close to Him, you won't have that problem. Trust God. I would say trust me. But no, don't even trust what I'm saying. Trust God. Put your faith in Him. Don't put your faith in what I'm saying. Are you sure you're getting that? Okay, this is Evangelist George McTyre. Until we get together again, let me just say this. May God bless you and your families real good. Until we get together next time, good day.